Well, good morning, everyone. It is a beautiful Sabbath out there, a little bit on the chilly side, but the sun's shining and it's really nice. So, what I want to talk to you today about is something that the world holds very near and dear. In just 6 days, the world will be celebrating what they call Christmas. But we know and we can prove from Scripture that Jesus Christ was not born on the 25th day of December. The 25th day of December was not even recognized as the birth of Christ until about 300 years after the death of Jesus Christ. Most biblical scholars recognize that time, 3 centuries after Christ's death, as being the first time that Christmas was recognized and kept in Rome. Of all places, in Rome. Why is that not surprising? Christ was not even born anywhere close to December 25th. And you can show from Scripture that it was either sometime in mid to late September or the first part of October is when he was really done. Born, when he was really born. Brethren, the world has it wrong. It really does. So let's go back to the beginning and go through some scriptures and refresh our minds on what God's Word really says. So let's start in John 1 and verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. This is very familiar to all of us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now this Word we know, you can drop down to verse 14, and it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word is the God entity that became Jesus Christ in the flesh. From the very beginning, God and the Word had a plan. And that plan involved all of mankind who have ever lived, from Adam and Eve to the newest babe born in society today. Everyone. And part of that plan included the teaching of the truth to mankind, to everyone. Have you ever thought about or asked yourself why God had Christ born as a baby? God could have worked it out very easily to have the Word come as a full-grown adult, just the way Adam was created as an adult. And the only thing I can think of is why he was born a baby is that God wanted him to experience the things in life that all humans experience, all the frustrations, all the trials and tests that man experiences, so that in the kingdom, Christ, the King of Kings, would have full knowledge of what man has experienced in this physical life. That's the only thing I can think of why God had the Word born as a baby. Let's go now to Matthew 1. No, we're not going to go there. I'm just going to reference that. Matthew 1 and verse 1 through 17 gives us the genealogy of Jesus Christ. if you read down through that genealogy and you study into it, that genealogy proves that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind. You can read down through that later. Now let's go to Luke 1. Luke 1 and verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them, to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Study the Bible, brethren. Study God's Word to prove those things that we are taught. That's the reason for our study. And Luke is writing, and he mentions Theophilus here, that you may know the certainty, the truth about the things that you have been taught. We need a strong spiritual foundation, and the only way we can get that is through what we learn here at services and through our personal study. That's the only way. Verse 5. Luke 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Eternal appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. To have someone suddenly appear out of nowhere right beside you would be kind of startling, wouldn't it, brethren? When you're the only one that's supposed to be in the temple, and all of a sudden this being is right there, you know, it startled Zacharias. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. So the angel came and gave Zacharias this wonderful news that he and his wife will have a son. In verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute, not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. So Zacharias was mute until the day his son, John, was born. because he doubted what the angel had said to him, that his wife would bear a son. In verse 23, and so it was as the days of his service, his priestly duties in the temple, were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. A woman well advanced in years. It doesn't say how old she was, but she was probably past the childbearing years. That's mostly why Zacharias doubted. But after that time, Zacharias and Elizabeth had marital relations, and she conceived. In her old age. Verse 26. Now in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now a betrothal is very much like an engagement, but it had a deeper meaning than that. In order to dissolve an engagement, usually today, the woman just gives the ring back to the man, or the man takes the ring and they separate and they go their own way. But a betrothal being dissolved was like a marriage. It had to be done through proper civil channels. You had to literally divorce. That's what a betrothal was. That's how important it was. The virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, the difference between Mary and Zacharias is that Mary did not doubt what the angel said the way Zacharias did. She just did not understand how that could happen because she was a virgin. She did not know a man. She did not doubt. And the angel explained to her how that would happen. Verse 36, now Elizabeth, your relative, this is the angel still talking to Mary, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now that word maidservant literally means a slave girl. Mary said, I will be a slave to God. Let it be to me as you have said. She was willing to do what God had said. Now, a pregnancy at that time outside of marriage was frowned upon very greatly. It was. There was great shame involved with that. But Mary was willingly obedient and willing to accept what God had said. She was willing to accept the shame and ridicule that may come because of her being with child and not married. She willingly accepted that. And because she believed and accepted that responsibility, she was greatly honored. Now, let's go back to Matthew 1. Matthew, the first chapter. We'll begin in verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now Joseph was a very honorable man. Very honorable. He did not want Mary to suffer the ridicule and shame of going through a divorce of the betrothal, because then the whole society, the whole area would know that the child she was carrying was not Joseph's. And she would have suffered great shame and ridicule. It would have been made public that she was with child. And it was not Joseph's child that she was carrying. Joseph did not want to make her a public spectacle and humiliate her. Now let's go to Luke, the second chapter. We'll follow in the chronological order here. Luke 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, the record of the history of a person, the genealogy, is followed through the father, not the mother. So Christ's lineage went through Joseph, and he was of the house of David. So he went to Bethlehem, which is the city of David, because he was of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, verse 5, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The word firstborn here denotes that there was a secondborn. Jesus Christ was the firstborn son of Mary. Now, Scripture tells us that Mary and Joseph had 4 sons and at least 2 daughters. They would be the half-brothers and half-sisters to Jesus Christ. Christ not being the son of Joseph. In verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" Brethren, is it still good news to us that we have a Savior that willingly died for our sins, that we would not have to suffer the second death? Does that give us great comfort? Something else happened here that did not happen when the angel appeared to Zacharias and Mary. The glory of God shone round about the shepherds. Let's drop down to verse 15. Luke 2 and verse 15. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned. They went back to the fields to tend their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told them." Verse 21. "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Verse 22. "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law, according to the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, according to the prophet, that was Isaiah. You can find that in Isaiah 7 and I believe it's Isaiah 7:14. Verse 25 here. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation.'" So Simeon was there waiting to see the Christ. He was told by the Spirit he would not die until he saw God's salvation for all of mankind. A little later in the chapter, you can read of Anna, a prophetess that stayed in the temple day and night praying and to God and serving in the temple. She also saw the child Jesus. And both Simeon and Anna recognized that this child was the Son of God. Now let's go back to Matthew, the second chapter. Beginning in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet." And down verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced and with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped them. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The story is about to take an ugly turn, brethren. Herod was a viciously evil man. He was demonstrably cruel. His words sounded good, that he wanted to go worship the king. But he deceived the wise men. Or that's what his words were meant to do. So that he could find this newborn king and kill him. He hated the thought of someone else taking his place as king. And as I said, he was demonstrably cruel and evil. Also, I'm going to point out here that Christ was a young child, possibly as much as 2 months or even more in age. We read earlier that when Mary's purification was complete, they took him to the temple. Now, the purification of a woman after childbirth can be anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 or 5 weeks in length. So when Christ was taken to the temple, he was at least a month old, somewhere in that range. Verse 12, Matthew 2, verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. After they had given very expensive gifts to Christ and his mother, they left and they went back to their own country a different way. From this point on, through the rest of the chapter, Christ and his mother are referred to as the child and his mother. Child being capitalized and being first in line, because the child is now God in the flesh. You always put the one in authority first before the mother. The term mother and child is never used in Scripture to refer to Jesus Christ and His mother Mary. It is never used. Verse 12. Okay, the wise men were divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod. They departed to their own country in another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Eternal appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek to destroy the child." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And they were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Eternal through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And this is where the story gets very ugly. All the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had been determined from the wise men, were killed. They were put to death. That's how cruel Herod really was. So I'm going to wrap this up, brethren. I've read a lot in the Scriptures today. The birth of Jesus Christ. And if you want a title for my message, it is "The Truth About the Birth of Jesus Christ." I want to leave you with one more thought. Christ was persecuted from the day He was born until the day He was crucified. Herod hunted Him to have Him killed when He was just a young child. The Pharisees and the priests hated Him for the things He taught. He had to lose Himself in the crowds numerous times to get away from those that sought to take Him and have Him killed. Now, many people would have you believe that there was a shining halo around Him. But if that were the case, He would be readily recognized. He could not lose Himself in the crowd as He did. December 25th is not the day of Christ's birth. We all know that. We are to study God's Word and do exactly as it says, not to add to it, not to take away from it. Brethren, I wanted to, and I hope that I have given you a little clearer picture about the truth of the birth of Jesus Christ.